This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio. I'm Zach. I'm here with Laura. Today's episode, we answer a piece of listener mail. It's another therapist, actually, who's looking for some insight into work with one of her couples. So that was fun for us to kind of case study that together. We also have our first ever listener dad joke, which I'm excited about sharing. So stick around for that. I also want to give a quick shout out to some of our newest patrons. Leanne and Rick and Anne all have become monthly supporters through Patreon, and I just want to really appreciate you out loud and let you know that it's because of people like you that we keep the lights on. And if you would like to become a person like Rick or Leanne or Anne and support the podcast, we would really appreciate it. It helps us edit and produce a great show, and you can visit marriagetherapyradio.com and click on the Patreon page. And then finally, one more thing, Laura and I are teaching a workshop here in Seattle in June. We have room for about five more couples, and we'd love for you to join us. We are doing the 7 principles for making marriage work. It's on June 8th and 9th. That's a Saturday evening and a Sunday. And it's a great time for us. I think our couples really benefit, and we would love for you to be a part of it. You can also find that at marriagetherapyradio.com. But for now, we're going to lean into the episode with a question from a listener. And if you have questions, don't hesitate to send them to us. We'd love to chat with you about whatever's on your mind. Stick around.
Good morning. Oh, do you remember Good Morning Vietnam?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know when you start off and you always say good afternoon. Yeah, Good Morning Vietnam.
Yeah.
Is that a song? Is it a movie?
No, it's a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a movie, a Robin Williams movie where he like is a disc jockey in Vietnam, and he's just kind of, he's Robin Williams basically, supermanic all over the place.
It just made me very sad just for a moment, right? Robin Williams is no longer with us.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I think his energy lives on. It's hard to believe he's gone.
You know what stinks, though? You know what I'm anti? I'm anti live action Disney movies.
Are you talking about?
Well, Aladdin just came out.
Aladdin,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, why do you need, we don't need this, or Beauty and the Beast, or Lion King.
I don't think the kids enjoy it. It's for the parents, because think about it. Like, they're bringing back the my generation. I grew up with the Lion King. I wish that our audience could see the facial expressions.
Whatever.
What are you doing?
All right. I was trying to think of how to sing that song. It's like, Topanga, Bag of Marbles, or whatever. But it's not that.
I love it.
What are you up to? What are you doing?
Well, I just got back from a trail run, so that kicked my ass. By the
way, this month, what's your thing this month? What is that? What is it?
My focus for the month. Thank you for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
I completely prompted him, by the way, before I was like, "Hey, ask me how what my thing is for the month."
That is not cool. You're not supposed to do that. That ruins the
spontaneity of it all.
Yeah.
So I decided that this month I'm going to be focusing on my gut health. So I tried to give up dairy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I tried to give up dairy a while ago, and I have been experiencing this odd dip of energy. I get 8 hours of sleep. Mm. I wake up in the morning. I'm still tired. Between 11 and 3 in the afternoon, I just want to sleep. I get really sleepy, and I'm healthy in general. So anyway, I made an appointment, and I've had all these labs done. I did like 3 poo tests. I did the blood draw. I did the saliva. So this month, I'm working on figuring out what's going on with either my gut, which I'm fascinated by gut health. It is supposed to be like the new brain. And it's tied to your wellness. a lot of times people would say that if you are depressed or anxious, you should be looking at what you're fueling your body with, because your gut is really in charge more than your brain is in charge of releasing. Yeah. You haven't heard this? Oh, I'm going to
I mean, I've heard parts of it. I've heard parts of this.
Yeah.
It's usually when somebody's trying to sell me something, though.
I don't want to sell you anything but good health. So that's what I'm working on. And I'm excited. And we did have an opinion, because I asked, I said, hey, if anybody knows what's going on with my body and my energy, let me know. And our good friend, Sean, who you said has lots of opinions,
he
passed it along that I'm overtraining, which I strongly disagree with, because I think if exercising 1 hour a day is overtraining, then that's bull pucky.
Hey, the good news is he only had like 10 or 15 words. He didn't have like 3,000. Yeah.
An email. Are you telling me I'm getting too wordy? What's happening with you? What's going on in your life?
No, I'm telling you that Sean, sometimes when he tells us things, he tells us things with very many words.
Yeah. Well, he has a large lexicon.
Yeah.
Just like you.
I invented the word sexicon last night.
Did you?
Yeah.
I
was just hanging out with a buddy and we were talking about this book that he's writing, and all of how the words that describe sex were created by the monks because they were trying to chart, their lexicon was really trying to include sex and shame. And he said the lexicon, and I was like, sexicon.
Oh, I like it.
It's like secretary.
Yeah. I was hoping,
what's going on
by
with
the
me?
Way.
What'd you say?
I don't want to interrupt you. I want you to continue.
Oh, I was going to tell you that I'm also working on health, but it's mental health. I've been seeing my therapist and she's kicking my butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about that. Like, what does that mean?
I told her, I said the first time I said, Laura and I both have said several times that neither of us is very good at individual therapy. And part of it is because I don't know how it works. I have no idea how it works, but I'm starting to get it a little bit, which is the experience I'm having is like when you have stuff that you are kind of trying to manage in silence, like whatever it is, your family pain or trauma or, you know, just different struggles or fears, and you bring them out into the noise. If you speak them out loud, then the ways that you tend to manage them in silence don't become as effective. And so you have to like actually face your stuff and integrate it and not be so compartmentalized and man, it's just like, it's not killing me. It's great. It's wonderful. It's just
unearthing a lot.
Yeah.
You've been working really hard probably for a long time to just keep it under
the
surface.
30 years, 30 years or so.
It's no big deal.
That's all.
And now your therapist is unearthing a lot for you and you're talking about it.
Two things.
Yeah.
I want to get into our thing because I think we're doing mailbag, right? And one of them is,
yes.
I wish we had,
jingle.
A jingle, like a mailbag
mailbag.
Yeah.
What you got in that mailbag?
But the first email, I want to shout out to our buddy Dustin, who wrote with a very important request that there be more dad jokes on the podcast.
That's true.
And also, he offered one up for us. So this is Dustin's son's favorite joke. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Why did the queen go to the dentist?
Why?
To get her teeth crowned.
I have the old lady laugh. Are you ready for it?
Anyway, that's from Dustin. And Dustin, I'm gonna hook you up, buddy. Don't worry about it. We got your back. And tell your son thank you for the joke. And also, it's time for a mailbag.
Mailbag.
Yeah, what's up? You got something?
Mailbag.
You got a good one?
Yeah, let me click over.
You sent me like 10 emails this morning, which means we have a lot to work with, but
I know
some we picked just one, I think, right? Or two?
Yes. One. So we picked this one mostly because some of the emails that we've been getting from our listeners, we have already planned to have an episode in the future. So stay tuned. Okay. So this email is talking about, there's a couple and they keep coming up against an obstacle. The male partner has had some past trauma that he keeps constantly questioning his wife about what she buys at the store, what she eats, what she hangs on the walls. And he explains that he just wants to understand and that he just wants to be included in decisions, but she can't help but feel distrusted and somewhat demoralized. He also insists that every decision must be a compromise between the two of them, regardless of how small or seemingly arbitrary the decision may seem. So what says you, Zachary?
All right. Well, two things jump out at me. One is I don't know that this has anything to do with past trauma. This email says it seems that the male partner has some past trauma. I don't know if that's the case or not, but you can't just make that assumption. You got to explore that and figure out what's going on for him. And that's not my work, right? Or rather, that's what I'm learning about in individual therapy, is that maybe you do stuff that you can't explain because something's going on for you, but it's not always trauma. It could just be a relationship dynamic, personality. Mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. So that's me kind of just pressing a little bit on the therapist, the person who wrote the email, Ruth. That's a cool name. I love the name Ruth.
Do you?
I do.
It's biblical.
Yeah, but it's like, it's cool. I kind of feel like Ruth is like 60, but I sort of hope she's like 28.
Does it remind you of a candy bar? And that's
no,
why you like it?
No,
that's why
no,
I
no.
like it.
I just think it's cool. There's Mary, the younger daughter, her third grade teacher, who was like 28, her name was Louise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, how many Louises are 28 years old? Or yeah. Ruths? Or 28 years old. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So that, this is what I think. I 100% disagree that every decision must be a compromise between the two of you. I think when I'm teaching couples often about decision making, I kind of want to remind them that there's generally about five kinds of decisions in every relationship. And I hold up my hand like this.
I feel it. An ebook coming on, by the way.
No.
Because all of our ebooks are five things. I think five.
Yeah, but this is so easy, though. This is like not. So I hold up my hand like this. And so my thumb and my pinky are decision one and decision five.
Okay.
Right?
Got it.
One and five are decisions that you're allowed to make without any input at all from your partner. It's like, should I get gas before or after lunch?
Mm.
Or should I stop at the grocery store that's close to my house or close to my office to pick up the jelly that we need? You know, like those decisions, it's ridiculous to assume somehow that I need to check in with my partner to figure out if I should get gas before or after lunch, you know? So then the next two fingers, I guess, are your pointer finger and your ring finger.
Hold on. I don't understand how two, that's one.
No, it's so, two, because one belongs to one partner and one belongs to the other partner.
Okay. So if you and I were a partnership, you wouldn't have to check in with me.
Thumb decisions are decisions I get to make without your input. And pinky decisions are decisions you get to make without mine.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I feel
you. And then we're just coming in toward the middle, right? And then the ring finger and the pointer finger are decisions that essentially belong to one partner or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But you should probably weigh in. You should probably get some input. Like, hey.
Like, should I shave my beard or not?
No.
I think as a woman, I get to weigh in on whether or not your beard goes away.
Is it time for me to shave my beard?
No, you look amazing with facial hair.
Okay.
Keep doing everything that you are doing.
All right. No. So sure. Maybe should I shave my beard? Probably more like, hey, we need to.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We need to call the exterminator because there's a problem. And can we afford that right now? Yeah.
Okay.
Totally we can. Or whatever. Just decisions that would be like, you don't want to kind of have them sneak up on your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course the middle finger.
Two of you.
Yeah. Well, it affects the two of you, but it's like Rebecca and I talk about how we have lanes.
Right.
Like, so it's like, just stay in your lane, but you maybe need to check in with the other person about what's going on. What's happening this weekend? Because, here's a great one. Rebecca's brother's coming into town this weekend. Typically we reserve that kind of time for, just being available for friends and family. But my favorite comedian is also coming to town this weekend. And so I get to make the decision about whether or not I'm going to go to this show, but I do need to check in with Rebecca because she's going to have an opinion about it and it's going to inform what I ultimately decide, but it's not going to be one that, ultimately it's going to be up to me. And that's just a lane that we have established with one another.
Yeah.
And I think the fifth one is your middle finger. And that's the one that like you absolutely have to make this decision together. And that is, are we going to have a baby? Are we going to buy this house? Are we going to put our kid in private school? You know, I think there's, I think when you can understand that there's nuance to decisions that really challenge these assumptions that everything needs to be a compromise, then it helps you. It helps you kind of find the gaps or find the places that you really do feel like you need to have your voice heard. Because I don't have any problem at all with this guy, this husband who just wants to be included or just wants to be heard, or just wants to understand. But there's a line, right? There's a line of autonomy and independence that needs to be respected for both partners.
Right.
And that seems like what Ruth is running up against each time.
Mm-hmm. So it would be about boundaries, having that conversation. Like what you said, there's a line that they're bumping up against, mm-hmm. and having some boundaries and having him be able to respect that there are some decisions that his wife can make without checking in. And
which he absolutely knows is true. Mm-hmm. He absolutely knows that's true because she doesn't have to ask him whether or not to put conditioner in her hair.
Right.
You know, like,
that example might seem so silly, but I think that it's, if you were to put that, let's just say like Ruth is doing, she's practicing with her couple, she's working with them, and you have you have a whiteboard and you're writing these five things down. And in lane number one is putting conditioner in hair. She does not have to check in with you about that. Going to IKEA and buying a picture frame. He wants to be consulted on that. However, it goes in lane number one, right? It goes in with the conditioner. She doesn't have to check in with him when it comes to buying a picture frame from IKEA.
Well, I think that's for them to decide, right? Like,
right.
For the couple to decide, because if the, mm-hmm. if the picture frame is $200, then right. maybe it is a big deal. Or if it's a picture frame that they are going to put their family portrait in, maybe he mm-hmm. does. But I think again, we know that there's gradient consequences, right? And you kind of have to agree at what point decision one becomes decision two.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and really, is this a three decision? Because you don't know anything at all about private school. Mm-hmm. I've done all the research and, you know, like, ultimately it's going to come down to me. I don't know. I guess that wouldn't be a tough one.
Okay. But. Here's something I want to talk about because we eventually we're going to talk about.
Let me just say this is my point though for the therapist is
yeah.
you've got to find a way to get outside of the binary conversation. The binary conversation is, am I heard or not heard? Am I included or am I not included? Is it a compromise or is it not? Well, it's much more nuanced. It always is. And so my five fingers let me get outside of the binary and say, it's ridiculous to assume that there's a single rule set that applies to every decision that you have to make.
Right.
And and the couple needs to know that, right? They need to know, oh, yeah. I mean, what if he's at work and he's like, my boss wants me to write a report on whether or not we should buy this piece of property as a company. Does he have mm-hmm. to call his wife and be like, what do you think? Should we buy this piece of property as a company?
Right.
No.
Yeah. Well, it makes perfect sense to me. The question is, let's just say, for instance, he's very anxious, and by having her check in and by having him know constantly what's going on and having kind of like a thumb on the pulse of what's going on in the relationship, he's gaining some sense of control. How much is it her responsibility to ease his anxiety by playing in to what he is asking for? So he wants to be included. Everything needs to be a compromise. And so she's playing into his anxiety in order to relieve it for him. What about that?
Well,
I'm always curious how much responsibility is on her to ease his anxiety.
So I'll flip it over because I think it's not her responsibility. It's her privilege to ease his anxiety. Like the deal is that a couple wants to protect the relationship from external stress. And if anxiety is causing stress on the relationship, it's her opportunity to come alongside him in opposition to the anxiety and say, let's help this go away. I don't think it's in the way that he's forcing, right? Like, tell me everything, include me all the time. It's more like, hey, what's going on for you? Are you getting enough sleep? Do you need a back rub? Do you need a glass of water? Do you need insight? Do we need to have a different kind of conversation that is helping you keep an eye on the budget or keep an eye on the kids or, you know, but I don't think it's it's responsibility, I guess, is the word, because it's not really anybody else's job, but it is an opportunity to bond together against something that's putting undue stress on the relationship, which could be trauma. It could be the kids. It could be finances. It could be job stress. It could be anything, but it's kind of what we talk about in terms of this stress reducing conversation where there's this role that you can play for one another to just for the purpose of reducing stress.
Can I just explain just about the stress reducing conversation? Because when I taught the Seven Principles program here locally, it's in Salt Lake with my other co-presenter, Nate, he had this amazing analogy, and I think I used it yesterday.
Yeah,
I use it all the time now, and it makes perfect sense. And he even said it's not my analogy, he got it from somebody else. But the stress reducing conversation is this idea that you have all of this external stress to the relationship, and you use your partner to be able to kind of come together and help just relieve that tension. You use the relationship as a buffer. If you were to imagine like a boundary or a buffer from your wrapped around your relationship, protecting it from all of this external stress. And the way that you do that is by having a conversation, just talking about what's stressful in your life. And the way that I think it just makes perfect sense. Boy, I'm really froggy today. Is imagine that your female partner comes home and they have just the worst day. And you say, honey, how was your day? And if you were to imagine that you're like holding a garbage can and your partner is just basically throwing up all the stressors of their day into that garbage can and you're holding her hair back and you're rubbing her back, that's what a stress-reducing conversation looks like. All you're doing is you're providing a safe space for your partner to unload and just talk about their day. You are not taking on their stress. You are not solving their problem. All you're doing is just rubbing their back and saying, did you get it all out? And they're like, no, and just continue to throw up all of their stress. And then after about 10, 15 minutes, then you can swap roles. And then your partner gets to hold the garbage can while you throw up all of your stressors. And I love that image because you can't do anything for somebody who's throwing up. In the moment, you really can't.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, sit there. What did you say the last time where you were like, so tell me, like, what did you eat earlier today?
No. I was talking about it. I was like, the way I use the same metaphor is I say that your wife got too drunk at a party and started throwing up in your friend's bathroom.
Okay.
And at that point, you're not like, well, you shouldn't have drank so much. And I'm going to just, how much sleep did you get? And did you eat anything? Mm-hmm. And no, you're just like, let me hold your hair. Here's a napkin. Let me get a glass of water.
Get it all out. Yeah.
I'm really embarrassed that you're doing this at our friend's house. Like you don't do that then.
Right.
You know, you do it tomorrow.
Yeah. All you do is you're just there to comfort your partner and let them know that you're there. You're present. You're hearing them. And, so that's the stress reducing conversation.
Well, And I think that I like to emphasize this point too, is that every conversation that you have, not every conversation, but in the same way that like this decision process is different. Like if I think it's a one and you think it's a four, well then we're going to have a hard time like finding stasis. But if I think I'm having a conversation to solve a problem and all you want is stress reduction, and we're starting at different places, then it's going to be a problem. And I think it's really important to make sure that both partners agree what is the purpose of this conversation.
Right.
So if he says, I want to understand, I just want to be included. And she can go, okay, I want you to understand and I want to include you. We have to make sure that we're talking about the same thing though, because are we talking about conditioner? Or are we talking about something more important? Like what's going on that. And then now we can level set the conversation and make it about what it's really about, which may be about his anxiety, not about what she buys at the grocery store.
Yeah. Or, I mean, we've talked about this before, that it might find that he wants to be included in decision processes and it all involves money in some way, small or large. And so what's the meaning of money? What's underneath it for him? I mean, maybe it doesn't matter to him whether or not she decides that she wants to go camping with her girlfriends over the weekend. It's not going to cost her anything. She's going to be away for a couple of days. That maybe he doesn't want to be included in conversations like that. But now all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, we're going to stay in a hotel. Okay, well, how much is that going to cost?
Yeah.
Now we need to make the decision together. It might be in a root cause in money, so like the meaning underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will say that we have had many a request, one for longer episodes and two for more dad, unfortunate dad jokes. Mm. So this has been a longer episode brought to you by Zach and Laura.
Mm-hmm.
Zach and Laura.
And mailbag, mailbag, mailbag. That's like the backpack song from Dora.
I know. Yeah. well, thanks for enlightening us. I really like your five finger example of the five different types of decisions.
It's like a mobster or something, like five finger. Oh no, that's what it is. Five finger discount when you shoplift
when you
things.
Theft something. Did you ever shoplift when you were a kid? I'm just curious.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You 100%. Did.
Yep.
Yeah, I went through a phase. I got caught by one of my high school friends. She was working at the Gap. And she caught me, and I lied my way through it. Yeah.
What did you say a couple weeks ago? We're old enough now that if we steal something, we can be like, oh no, I totally forgot. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That, and you can get the walking farts and not apologize for
geez.
It.
Oh, jeez.
It's all right. It's really fine.
Okay. All right.
Next time. Episode 69 is a big one. So if you're listening to this episode, stay tuned because we're super excited for our guest that's coming up on episode 69.
And it's supersized. It's like really long.
It's extra long.
But it's really good.
Yeah. And okay. We have our sponsor. So super cool.
All right on. Oh, shout out to thanks again to Dustin and
his son.
And to Ruth for her thoughtful email. Hope that's okay.
Go ahead and send us some dad jokes. We don't have to have Zach come up with his own. Send us your own dad jokes and we'll read them online.
Right on.
All right.
See you later.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I've said it a lot and I want to continue to let you know that we are very excited to host you for our marriage workshop in Seattle, Washington on June 8th and 9th. It's a Saturday evening from 6 to 9 p.m. and a Sunday from 9 until 3. In our marriage workshop, first of all, you get to hang out with Zach and myself, but we are going to be giving you all of our tidbits, all of the research, all of the tools when it comes to deepening your intimacy, having amazing conversation with your partner, managing conflict, and how to plan for the future so that your relationship doesn't grow stale. If you want to register for this workshop, go to marriagetherapyradio.com and click on the tab that says workshops. I just want to give you a heads up though. We have a smaller venue. We wanted this workshop to be more intimate, so we are limiting the number to 15 couples. We already have a bunch of people signed up, and I want to make sure that if you're interested, June 8th and 9th is a beautiful time to visit Seattle. If you've never been, now is the time to register. We hope to see you there. Thanks so much for putting your time and your energy into making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.